My program today involves a very fascinating therapy that is, hold on to your seats, guaranteed to work. This therapy does not fail. If you do it, you're going to feel better, guaranteed. That's the first offer I've got for why you need to continue listening to my program today. The second enticement is this particular therapy does not cost 1 cent. In other words, this particular therapy is free. Many people tell me, you have all these interesting therapies that you're covering, but some of them cost money, you know, a few $100s, some of them a few $1,000s. Boy, I can't afford that kind of a thing. I really can't do anything for myself because there's just nothing out there that can make a difference for me. Well, guess what, folks? On the program today, yes, this is a therapy that will provide profound relief from the symptoms of Parkinson's. Yes, it's a therapy that's guaranteed to work and might be a surprise to you, despite the fact that there's a guarantee, this particular therapy is free. It's called laughter yoga. You ever heard of that? Well, I've got an expert today who's going to tell us about this, Gita Findelman, who is a certified laughter yoga teacher who's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in 2004. And Gita, I want you all to know, is still laughing today. Gita Findelman, who is a certified laughter yoga teacher and leader, a Kripalu certified yoga teacher with over 30 years experienced, and this is in quotes, recovered tax attorney, and can laugh in Mandarin. Gita trained with Dr. Maiden Kateria, founder of the World Laughter Movement, and is affiliated with the Dr. Kateria School of Laughter Yoga. She was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in 2004, and she's still laughing. She's been described as inspirational because of her unwavering commitment to laugh, despite life's challenges and her heart-centered, engaging teaching style. Gita, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Robert.
Tell everybody how it came about that you got involved with doing laughter yoga.
Well, it's one of the actual gifts of Parkinson's for me. I was doing regular hatha yoga since about 1971, and it just changed my life. I love the deep breathing and the deep relaxation, the stretching. I felt so wonderful, and I was teaching it and loving it, and all the same time I was practicing law, it really helped with the stress. And then when I got the Parkinson's diagnosis, two, 3 years into it, I couldn't really do a lot of the hatha yoga poses that I used to be able to do. And so I wasn't enjoying my teaching as much because I was teaching people stuff that I could no longer do. And so that was a little frustrating. And I had read about laughter yoga in a Yoga Journal article several years ago, and I think I had filed it away in the back of my mind thinking that sounds interesting, and somehow I got sort of this intuitive nudge to look up laughter yoga when I could no longer teach the regular yoga, and I got online and I looked it up and I found a teacher, and I was hooked immediately because I could do it. And you're doing it now. And I studied with Dr. Kataria, who's the founder of the World Laughter Movement, and became certified, and I've been doing it now for about 2 years, and it's just fantastic.
Where are you physically located, Gita?
I'm in Tucson, Arizona.
And did you have to leave Tucson to attend this laughter yoga training?
The training was in California at Harbin Hot Springs at a spa. It's actually a yoga spa in Northern California. Dr. Kataria travels all over the world teaching and training teachers to do this. So I didn't have to go to India, although he does do trainings in India as well, but India, Europe, it's a worldwide movement. And so I was trained in California. I found classes here in Tucson from someone who was a certified laughter yoga leader, and she's actually no longer teaching it, but then I went and studied with the master who created this great technique.
Everybody, I think, is familiar with yoga and what yoga is all about, and everybody is pretty much familiar with laughter. What is laughter yoga?
Well, laughter yoga is based on this incredibly unique idea that anybody, anywhere, can laugh for absolutely no reason. So it doesn't use comedy, it doesn't use jokes, we don't need to rely on our sense of humor, and we don't even need to be in the mood to laugh. And what we do in laughter yoga, we laugh as a form of exercise, and we usually do it in a group, because when we have eye contact with each other and we laugh and we look at each other, the laughter becomes contagious. And there's so many phenomenal health benefits to get from this that even if you're not in the mood to laugh, it still benefits. And there's actually studies that have been done that show that the body doesn't know the difference between actual laughter and what we call self-stimulated laughter, which we do, you know, as a form of exercise. So laughter, it's called laughter yoga because it combines the deep breathing and the deep relaxation of yoga with some pretty childlike, playful laughter exercises that make just about everyone laugh. We laugh and we clap and we just get into that childlike, playful spot that everyone still has kind of buried inside.
When I get into moods when I'm really down and I'm really depressed and I feel like nothing's going to help me feel better, absolutely nothing, and I don't want to do anything, are you telling me that if I were to attend one of your laughter yoga classes that I actually would laugh, number one, and number two, I would actually feel better?
Oh, absolutely, Robert. In fact, I just came back from Reno where I did a training, and we had a couple of preview classes before the training, and one of the women in the class, when I always like to ask afterwards how's everybody feeling, she said, I was in bed all day. I felt so sick. I think she had the flu or the cold or something, and she said, I feel phenomenal now. Training. And I know for myself when I'm feeling down, it's a decision to laugh. There's a commitment there. But you don't have to find it humorous. It's more like, you know, you're going to go to the gym and work out. That's what this is. This is an exercise. And if you do it once and you feel really good, and most people feel fantastic after it's about a 45-minute session, and then maybe they don't come back, and 6 months later they wonder why they're depressed. Well, it's just like working out in the gym. If you work out and you feel buff and then you stop working out for 6 months, you get kind of flabby. So it's the same principle, but you do not need to be in the mood to laugh. All you need to do is drag your butt to the class, and it soon becomes very contagious. I had a story. Well, I often share this, but one of the first times I taught laughter yoga, there was a woman came up to me and she said, you know, I thought this was so stupid. It wasn't funny. I didn't know what I was doing there, and I wasn't even in the mood to laugh, but I had an open mind, and I got into it. She said, do you know something? I laughed so hard I peed in my pants.
That's pretty funny.
So I always advise people to empty your bladder before you do the cruise.
Well, it occurs to me, just thinking personally about attending a laughter class when I don't feel like it, if I think of the laughter yoga class as exercise, I do know that exercise always makes me feel better. It would probably be motivating for me to actually get my body moving to attend the class. If I think about, oh, I have to laugh, it might be I'm thinking I can't do it.
Right, right, because you think you have to be in the mood to laugh. But that's what's the genius of this technique is that we're laughing for no reason. We might say we're laughing for the health of it.
That's funny. So how did this all start?
Well, it started in 1995, actually in March of 1995, so we just celebrated a 15-year anniversary, when Dr. Kataria, who's a medical doctor from India, he was researching an article for a newsletter that he puts out for his patients entitled Laughter is the Best Medicine. And as a physician, he was so impressed with all of the proven health benefits of laughter that he thought to himself, well, if this is so good for us, why don't we do it more often? So he went to a park in Mumbai where he lives with his wife, who's a yoga teacher, and they went around asking people, will you laugh with me? Will you laugh? And most people said, Doc, you've really lost it.
Really? You're a medical doctor?
Exactly. But they found three other people to laugh with them, and they started the world's first laughter club with only five people in this park in Mumbai. And today there's over 8,000 laughter clubs in over 80 countries. And it's been on Oprah Winfrey twice. It's been on CNN. It's been in Time magazine. All over. I was on the cover of the Tucson Green Times. It's just been all over the media, and it's just really a phenomenal thing, and it's growing every day. I mean, there's clubs popping up everywhere.
So perhaps not every town or city would have one, but people might be surprised at how many clubs there are across the world.
Yeah, well, there's over 8,000, and it's hard to keep track of them because there's new ones starting all the time. And we have one here in Tucson that I started, and then some people that I've trained to be certified laughter leaders are now starting another one. So we're going to have two of them here in Tucson. And then there's another one, I'm not sure it's still meeting, but it was meeting once a month, the Tucson Laughter Club. And the one I started meets every week because I was meeting once a month too, and I just thought, hey, this feels so good. I want to do this every week. And sometimes I think I really want to do it every day. Dr. Kataria, in India, they meet every day. They have hundreds of people in the park laughing together. And then they have World Laughter Day the first Sunday of May of every year. And people all over the world, tens of thousands of people gather to do laughter yoga. It's just, it's a phenomenon. And it's there's a mission. His mission was good health, obviously, and joy, obviously, and world peace through laughter. Because if you think about it, if people would laugh together, it'd be pretty hard to be fighting each other. And so it's there's an exchange program for laughter club members in the United States can go over to India and stay with laughter club members in India and vice versa. But mostly I think it's some people have gone to India and they're just amazed because they get up rain or shine every day and laugh in the park, outdoors. Most of our clubs here in the States meet once a week, once a month, and they're usually indoors. But it's quite a movement. I'm still in touch with the people I trained with in California, and they're all over the country and some in Canada. And it's just, you know, I have friends all over the world because of this.
Did you ever think, as a practicing tax attorney some years ago, that today you would be teaching laughter yoga workshops?
No, I never did, but I sure am glad.
What a transformation.
No, Robert, the whole time I was practicing law, I actually was practicing yoga before I became a lawyer. And all throughout my career, I was teaching at least one yoga class while I was a practicing lawyer. And people always thought that was a strange combination, but it really helped with the stress and really helped balance, you know, my work life, as they say now, the balanced work life, I think, is one of the buzzwords. But the yoga was always my passion, always my passion. And I loved teaching, and so when I couldn't teach the Hatha yoga anymore, the regular yoga, it was, you know, I really missed the teaching. And with the laughter yoga, I've always loved to laugh, so it was a pretty easy transition. And that's why I call myself a recovered tax attorney.
Ida, tell us what the benefits of laughter yoga are.
Oh, my God, they're so phenomenal. What I want to be sure to say for the listeners of this show, people with Parkinson's, is that the study that I found that sold me on it was out of Stanford, said that laughter stimulates the part of the brain that uses dopamine. And when I saw that, I thought, oh, my God, that's going to be my medicine. I'm definitely going to put that in my medicine chest. In fact, I like to call laughter yoga my inner pharmacy. It's been 6 years since my diagnosis, and I haven't taken a prescription drug. You know, I'm doing pretty well. I'm laughing. And so that's a huge benefit. The other thing is, you know, for people that have the soft voice from Parkinson's, I don't think I have that, but my sister actually was diagnosed with Parkinson's as well, and she has that. But I have a student with Parkinson's, and I always give homework to laugh for 10 minutes a day, every day. And so he and his wife did that every day for a week, and they came back to the next class. And he said to me, you know, Gita, I used to love to sing in church, but this Parkinson's robbed me of my voice, and I just stopped singing because I couldn't hear myself. Do you know, after laughing for 10 minutes a day for 1 week, I could hear myself again in church? And I just, oh, my God, that this was such a heartwarming story. But, I mean, it's good for everybody's health. It improves cardiovascular health. It helps depression, strengthens the immune system. I mean, it even improves communication skills and creativity and personal relationships, diabetes. It helps heart disease. It reduces the stress hormones, like, by about 75% or more. Muscle and emotional tension gets released. All the organs get massaged. I mean, there's a lot of deep breathing, because when you laugh and you're going, ha, 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 you're automatically exhaling all the stale air at the bottom of your lungs, which is what yoga emphasizes, so that when you do breathe in, there's lots of room for fresh new oxygen to fill those lungs. And the oxygen is what gives us so much energy and makes us feel healthy and relaxed. Blood pressure drops, circulation improves, pulse rate drops, endorphin levels are increased, so we feel good, and it reduces aches and pains. God, I could go on and on. It boosts self-confidence, sense of well-being, reduced worry. I mean, sometimes when I'm just, you know, feeling down, and I'll just sing one of the, we do a lot of singing too. We sing happy songs, and I'll just sing one of those songs, because that's an easy way for me to start feeling better, and that'll just put me in a better mood. It's also very aerobic, because it's surprisingly aerobic. There's a Dr. William Fry, who's a Stanford University psychiatrist, who found that 1 minute of hearty laughter, even if it's faked, is equal to 10 minutes on the rowing machine. So that's in terms of cardiovascular workout, not necessarily in terms of calories burned. But if you use your whole body can get a workout. You know, if you're slapping your knee and bending over, you can get some good workout. Yeah, it's just phenomenal. I mean, everybody knows that you feel better when you laugh. But what amazes me is there's actually a study of this called gelotology. It's gelotology, the science of laughter. And all these scientists are doing all kinds of studies. Oh, the other thing is it helps with cancer. They found that the NK cells, the natural killer cells, are increased after laughter. Those are the ones that attack cancer cells, apparently, and that it boosts the immune system. I said that. The other thing, people may have heard of Norman Cousins, who wrote a book, Anatomy of an Illness. He was diagnosed with something called ankylosing spondylitis, which is a severe arthritic condition. He said he felt like his joints were being pulled apart. They had him on morphine and painkillers. They gave him a 1 in 500 chance of living. One day he just woke up. He said, I think this is poisoning me. I'm going to check out of this hospital and check in. He checked into a hotel, and he hired a nurse to read him jokes and funny stories. And he watched Marx Brothers movies, and he recovered. And he found that the laughter would help with the pain. He said 20 minutes of laughter would give him like 2 hours of pain-free sleep.
Wow.
So it's a great book. I always recommend people to read that book, Anatomy of an Illness, especially people that are dealing with a chronic illness. And you can see how beneficial laughter was for him and how it can be for us. And I always like to quote Voltaire, who's an 18th century French philosopher. He said, the art of medicine consists of amusing the patient while nature cures the disease. I love that. I love that. And also, someone else who I think you're familiar with, John Coleman, who wrote his book Stop Parkin' and Start Livin'. He's got his 12 steps for healing from Parkinson's, and one of his 12 steps is laughter. So it's definitely good integrative medicine for whatever else you're doing.
The story that you told us about the man with Parkinson's who had significant vocalization challenges, was that he went home and he laughed for 10 minutes a day and had a miraculous improvement. So just to clarify, if you compare this with the cost of other therapies, it sounds like the cost that he incurred to be able to laugh every day was zero. Is that right? He didn't have to pay anything to do that, right?
That's right. He and his wife laughed together every day.
And if I think about the actual result, if you think about what this did for him, it was pretty incredible, actually. If you compare that with, let's say, 20 other therapeutic choices, many of which could have cost a handsome penny, but this was basically free.
Exactly, exactly. And the laughter clubs are free or by donation because Dr. Kataria wants this to be a worldwide movement where everybody can laugh together. And I do some things where, I get paid to do this as well, too, but my laughter club is by donation only. And, anybody can laugh. And if you go online and you can, if you can use YouTube and just search for laughter yoga, you'll get some DVDs up there, some videos where you can just watch what it is and laugh. You just can't help but laugh.
I do have emails and calls from people, and they basically will say something to the effect of, well, I'm not about to pay a penny for any therapy. And they've got, you know, various rationales for that. And it sounds like for this particular person, that's not an excuse. They actually have no reason not to actually engage this particular therapy through joining a club or, as you've just described, connecting with certain websites or just sitting down and laughing for 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And even in a wheelchair. I mean, I worked with people in wheelchairs. And in fact, I've done several laughter yoga retreats for people here in Tucson for people with Parkinson's. And they were very, very successful, and people loved them. And I'd say half the people were in wheelchairs. And they just, you know, they just came, brought their body to the laughter, and let the laughter do its work.
You mentioned your sister has recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's. Have you been able to convince her to join the laughter workshops?
Well, she lives in St. Louis, and actually she was diagnosed before I was diagnosed. She's had it for about 5 years more than I have, and she was diagnosed at age 40. She is on a totally different path. She took the medication and had the DBS, deep brain stimulation surgery, but she likes to laugh. When I do come to St. Louis, she'll laugh with me.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so it's some people don't want to laugh, you know, and it is a choice. It is a choice. I had a woman that did come to one of my retreats and for chronic conditions, and we do an exercise where you say your name and everyone laughs, and then you say what your diagnosis was and you laugh. You laugh at the diagnosis, and it's pretty powerful, and most people really feel strengthened and encouraged by it. And one woman came up to me and said, you know, I really don't feel like laughing. I don't feel like I'm ready to laugh at stage 4 cancer. And I said to her, that's fine. That's your choice. I'd rather laugh, you know, but everybody has their own choice, and, you know, it's up to what you want to do, but I feel sad for people that don't want to laugh.
Despite the evidence that exercise is incredibly helpful for people, there are many people who refuse to exercise. So it's not surprising that there are also many people who would just say, I'm not laughing either. If we think about prescription medications specifically, the reason the FDA controls those is because there are also prescribed side effects. That is, typically with any medication, it's always a good idea to get the pharmacy handout, which will list all of the side effects that can result from taking any prescription medications. So let's go to laughter yoga. Are there any contraindications for laughter yoga?
It may be addictive.
Like gambling, you mean, or alcohol?
Like gambling. I mean, you might start laughing uncontrollably for no reason more and more often. Some of the side effects might include freedom from stress, joy, happiness, increased vitality, things like that.
So it sounds like the only side effects to be expected are improved health on some level. That's the bottom line. I guess speaking on a bit more serious note, if a person is working in a particular job where everybody is particularly serious, they might have trouble fitting in because they're laughing quite a bit at the meetings and the other work conditions.
Well, you know, there's a great YouTube. It's called Bodhisattva and Metro. This guy gets on a subway car, a subway car. Everybody's looking really grim and reading their paper and looking down, and you know how people are when they're on a subway. And this guy starts giggling, and he starts chuckling, and he starts laughing, and the person next to him starts laughing. And before you know it, the whole subway car is cracking up in hysterical laughter. So it is pretty contagious. And I think that there's this image that you have to be serious at work, and to be professional means you don't laugh. And there's really a lot of evidence to the contrary, that laughter can build team spirit and produce, you know, increased creativity, less sick days. I mean, it's really a lot of benefits for the corporate world. It may be it's a little harder, you know, to get it in there, but definitely beneficial in that respect too. There's been actually some studies on corporate sales going up because people have been doing laughter yoga at the company for a regular period of time. Makes more sense. When people feel better, they're more productive.
Oh, it sure does. And I can really see where in certain work situations people really do get stuck and they just can't seem to work themselves out of a terrible situation or a hole. This could really just unlock that logjam and help them go into a much better place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and help boost creativity, think outside the box, think of a solution that never would have occurred to them before, get along better with your coworkers if you're laughing with them. It's, you know, it's just got a whole host of benefits. I mean, I do this for my own health. That's really why I'm doing it, because it keeps me laughing.
It very clearly sounds to me like, given wide range benefits for individuals that might have any imbalances or any illnesses, including Parkinson's, that your audience oftentimes is comprised of people who might have many, many different kinds of illnesses or diseases or no diseases whatsoever. In other words, you're not just attracting people who have Parkinson's disease. Is that right? In other words, what kind of people really come to your classes?
Well, that's absolutely correct. Someone else asked me that, and I think the better question is, what kind of people don't come? And really, the one group that doesn't come that's really like the toughest group would be teenagers. Teenagers don't want to look silly. They think it looks too silly or childish, you know. But young kids love it. Older people love it. Adults, middle age, young adults. I mean, I've had professional athletes in my classes, and I've had, you know, wheelchair-bound people in my classes. So it's a whole range of physical fitness. I've had bankers. I've had lawyers. I've had unemployed people, CEOs, you name it. It's just, it's a universal thing. Everybody likes to laugh.
And everybody benefits from laughing, as you've just explained.
Yeah, and it's non-denominational, it's non-religious, it's non-sectarian, non-gender. You know, it crosses all cultural boundaries. It's really a great thing. I just love it. It's so simple. It's so simple and so profound.
Let's just make a guess that some of the individuals who are listening to this program are individuals who have a diagnosis of very young onset Parkinson's disease, and they are teenagers. In other words, the kind of person who's less likely to be interested in attending a laughter yoga class. Tell them now what really happens in a typical laughter yoga class.
Well, it's a lot of fun, and I should say that there are some teenagers who do love it. That's just, as a group, that tends to be the toughest audience. But what happens in a class is we start off with some laughter warm-ups. We do some clapping and some breathing, and some we clap and we chant ho, ho, ha, 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 ho, ho, ha, 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 and we move around the room and have eye contact. And then we do various laughter exercises. For example, we might do cell phone laughter. So you talk on an imaginary cell phone like you're hearing something really funny, and you walk around the room and share it with everybody. Or we'll do greeting laughter, where you just shake someone's hand and laugh. We do introduction laughter, like I said before, where someone says their name and we laugh, and then we say something about ourselves, and we all laugh again. So we do about 20 minutes of laughter exercises, which are varying degrees of movement. I mean, some can be done seated, some we run around. For example, we'll do catching a plane laughter, where you're imagining you're running at an airport and you're late for your flight and you're dragging your luggage and you're laughing the whole way. Or we'll do jackpot laughter. Imagine you just found out you just won the jackpot. How would you act? And that's a fun one. Or then on the other hand, we do out of money laughter, where you empty your pockets and you just laugh because you're out of money. So all kinds of, there's hundreds of laughter exercises. Then we end with a laughter meditation, which is really interesting. We keep our eyes open as opposed to other types of meditation where you usually close your eyes. And we look at each other and we just start with a chuckle or a giggle and we just start building it up and we get people eventually rolling on the floor and laughing so hard and then we bring it back down. And we usually do that for about 3 to 5 minutes. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty much of a workout. You're pretty winded and pretty laughed out by the end of that. And then we end with a deep relaxation, which is a traditional part of yoga, where people either in their chair or some people like to lie down, and it's a progressive relaxation that I usually lead and talk people through some deep breathing and relaxing of every muscle in the body. And then we end, and then we have some socializing at the Laughter Club, so because it's a social movement. And the thing I love about laughter yoga that for me was missing from the traditional yoga is that the word yoga means to connect. And in regular yoga, generally you're connecting with your inner self, your eyes are closed, and you go within, and you might be connecting with your higher self and your inner self, but there is not a lot of connection with your community, with the people around you. And with laughter yoga, there's that added connection because we have so much eye contact. And people at the Laughter Club become friends and start socializing together, and that's a real helpful benefit as well. Especially people with chronic illness can tend to isolate and become isolated. And with the Laughter Club, there's, you know, we go out to dinner afterwards, or we celebrate people's birthdays, or we, you know, we're starting to do more and more social events. One time we took the Laughter Club to Tucson, has a peace fair. And so since laughter yoga's mission is world peace through laughter, we went out to the park and we did laughter yoga at the peace fair, and they loved it, and people joined in. It's very easy. I mean, anybody can do it. You don't, you know, it's not a very difficult exercise to do, because if you can laugh, you're there. And that's pretty much a typical class. The exercises might vary from class to class, and sometimes we make up exercises on the spot. We do, you know, different animal laughter exercises. I mean, you name it. We had one guy one time did referee laughter, so he did all the movements the referee might do, and we laughed with each movement. So it's just a lot of fun. People seem to get a lot of benefit from it.
If you think of all of the therapies that you have pursued to be able to get relief from the symptoms of Parkinson's, where would you stack laughter yoga? Is it at the top of the list in terms of what's really helped you get relief?
Well, it's the one I'd say that I haven't given up on, because it's kept me in a space of mind or a frame of mind where I'm willing to pursue the other avenues, because I haven't turned to anything traditional medicine has to offer. So I've been out there pretty much experimenting with all kinds of alternative things, and some work and some don't work, and it can get a little discouraging when the ones that don't work, but when I can laugh at it and keep laughing, then it keeps me going. It keeps me willing and able to try the next thing that I hear about.
And it sounds like from your description of the class, you're laughing at both the ones that work and the ones that didn't work.
Exactly.
So can you tell people a little more about therapies that have, other than laughter yoga, made a difference?
I have been doing something called the Release Technique, which is a very deep, and they have a website too, releasetechnique.com, where I got a lot of relief. It's It's similar to a meditation technique or it's somewhat like mind control, but it's simpler than that. I mean, you release all your negative thoughts and feelings. And I had people coming up to me saying they almost didn't recognize me because my walk had improved so much.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that's a pretty expensive one. Basically, their goal is total freedom from anything that might bother you. Money, relationship, health, anything. So it's pretty, they make some pretty outrageous promises. But I did get a good amount of progress with that. And as you know, Robert, I just received my,
Vibromax, I think it's called, isn't it? Vibromax?
Yeah, so I'm excited to see what that'll do for me. I've also been working with a naturopath long distance, something called, she has a virtual clinic. It's called Zyto Clinic, and I put my hand in a cradle, and it connects to my computer, and through the internet connects to her computer, and she has some machine there that reads the frequencies in my body and finds all the weaknesses and then sends me frequencies to listen to balance the weaknesses. And I think that's been helpful. It's kind of hard to tell. I mean, at first when I started out, the other thing that was really helpful when I first got diagnosed, I really thought acupuncture would help. And I found a woman who had written her master's thesis on acupuncture for Parkinson's. And there's a big Parkinson's recovery, I think they call themselves Parkinson's recovery. They're in Santa Cruz, California. And they don't use the needles, but they use something called Yin Tui Na, which is gentle Chinese body work. I worked with her for a year and a half and got a lot of relief from the toe clenching and the stress. And then she said that we had gotten rid of all the energy blockages, and now it was up to me and my belief system. And she recommended, of all things, A Course in Miracles, which I seriously studied for several years. I really think the mental, mind, emotional piece of this is very important. And I think John Coleman mentions that in his book as well, that, you know, how you think and how you hold it in your mind is really critical.
What therapies have you pursued that really did not help?
You know, speaking of John Coleman, he highly recommended Bowen technique, which only was painful for my body. And then the big experiment, I tried raw food for 8 months. Oh, my God. I was in so much pain.
Oh, my goodness.
What we figured out was I developed a B12 deficiency.
Oh.
Got a B12 shot, and the pain went away, and I felt supercharged. But I was so religious, I thought, because someone told me that, you know, that would cure it. So I was juicing, and I was eating all organic and all raw, and all it did was give me a B12 deficiency. But I tried that for 8 months. It was fun. The food was really good.
But the pain became
unbearable.
It had some side effects too, it sounds like.
Yeah. And that, whether that was detoxing or not, at some point when the detox symptoms are worse than the disease, you know, I'm ready to give up.
It's not worth it. Yeah. You don't want to incur that kind of discomfort.
Yeah. It's just so heartening.
Geeta Findelman, thanks so much for being with us and explaining what turns out to be one of the most fascinating therapies I have ever heard about.
Well, thank you, Robert.